Remember this image from Desert Storm, huge oil well fires, billowing clouds of black smoke, and in the middle of it all, soot-covered firefighters whose job it was to put those fires out. Most of those firefighters worked for private companies that specialize in this kind of job. As the possibility of war in Iraq approaches, these companies are having to consider the possibility of fires at Iraqi oil wells. Joining me now by phone from his office in Calgary, Alberta, is Mike Miller. He is the CEO of Safety Boss, one of the firefighting companies. Thanks so much for being with us, Mr. Miller.
Hi, Lynn. Glad to be with you.
Now, you worked in the Kuwaiti oil fields, is that right?
Yes, I did, from start to finish on the fires, and we were actually there before as well.
What's involved in planning for a job like that? How long does it take to prepare?
Well, that's part of the problem that we see here, and what a lot of people don't realize about the Kuwait fires is that we did 5 months of planning before the wells were exploded, and that's not being done here. And that planning saved months, if not years, off that project.
5 months. What kind of plan? What did you do in those 5 months? How did you prepare for it?
Well, we basically took different levels. For example, 50 fires, 100 fires, 150 fires, and then we said how much equipment would we need to support it. Because what's important to recognize, and I think there's a certain naivety out there, that you just phone up the firefighters and away we go. But the reality is that we're only a small piece of the puzzle, is that during the Kuwait fires project, there was more than 10,000 people supporting our efforts. For every firefighter at the front, there was 1,000 people supporting it, and that was people that did everything from feed us to service our equipment to get supplies for us, and of course, we bought 5,000 pieces of large construction equipment and flew it to Kuwait, and I am concerned that the magnitude of this project is not being understood. Iraq could be far worse in that it's an immensely diverse country, 25 times the size with more than twice the number of wells.
Now, you said you had 5 months to prepare for Kuwait. Did you have notice of that? I mean, how did you know to prepare?
Oh, well, what happened, the relative chronology of events was as the invasion took place on August 2nd, by early September, the Kuwait Oil Company, KOC, knew that their wells were being wired with explosives. And that management in exile started calling up the firefighting companies, the four of us, including ourselves, and we started meeting to do that planning, and then the wells were blowing up, if I remember correctly, about February 8th. Over the next couple of weeks, they blew up some 730 wells.
Yeah. Well, how would the situation be different in Iraq?
Well, it's far more complex, mostly because the country is so immensely different. First of all, Kuwait is a small country close to the ocean. You can basically drive from Kuwait City to any of the oil fields in 2 hours. That's not at all the case in Iraq. It's 25 times the size. The oil fields are hundreds of kilometers or miles apart, and there's more than twice the number of wells. There's immense problems in getting water in Iraq that, of course, in Kuwait it was fairly simple because we used seawater, which, again, was close to us. In Iraq, several of those wells are hundreds of kilometers away from water sources, and you can't begin the firefighting effort until you get water, as one single point example of the complications.
If you can't prepare, and if you can't get in when you feel you need to get in, what are the consequences? What happens?
Well, if it were to happen, it would just drag the project out much, much longer, and I'm predicting... Kuwait was 8-9 months, and we did it far faster than all of us, including myself, thought, but Iraq could easily go on for years. And the important part to understand is the Kuwait Fires Project was the worst environmental disaster ever, and it, for example, made the Exxon Valdez look like a drop in the bucket. There was well over 500 million barrels of oil burned or put on the desert floor or put into the ocean in the Kuwait fires.
After the Gulf War, you knew that Kuwait would pay its bill. Who would pay this time?
Well, that's another huge problem. There seems to be an absence of taking responsibility here. And as a Canadian, I'm certainly not saying that rests with the American government, because we're lobbying our own government to do something about this. But in Kuwait, we had an intact government in exile with a pocket full of money, and we don't have any of that here. The government's bound to be in disarray. Information on the oil fields is going to be hard to come by. And no one's assuming responsibility here.
You can't plan for it exactly, but you're certainly thinking about it sounds like.
Oh, we've certainly got the Kuwait files out and going over them to look at it. But, an important part to understand is that we just can't go very far down that road without being paid for it. We just simply cannot fund it out of our own purse in the hope that someone in the end would pay us.
Are there enough people to deal with Iraq in a worst-case scenario? I mean, are there enough...
Well, I think there is. I mean, there's still, certainly in our own case, there's lots of the people who were in Kuwait are available to us. And we also set up a system to bring people on in rapid training and increase their involvement in it from, shall we say, peripheral situations of work into the wellhead.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Mike Miller is a firefighter in Calgary, Alberta. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.